Hello and welcome to Pets Plus Us, a weekly program of information and stories about the companions in our lives, our pets. I'm Mary DeFranco, your host for Pets Plus Us. Coming up this half hour, helping your pet through grief. Who gets the pet in a divorce? And yes, you can train your cat. But let's start with pets can experience grief. Here's what you should know about it. This is written by Caroline Bologna of HuffPost. Here's how to help your pet get through a period of loss. Pets can grieve to varying degrees when they lose a human or animal companion, said Kate Mornament, an animal behaviorist and consultant. Pets often have special bonds with their human and fellow pet companions. One of the most poignant examples of pet-human relationships might be the tale of Hachiko, an Akita that was born in Japan in the 1920s. He left his house to greet his owner at a Tokyo train station every morning and continued to do so for nearly a decade after the man had died. Over the years, similar stories have made headlines around the world, from Ecuador to Russia to China, and people are moved by these accounts of pet loyalty, devotion, and grief. Though some have cast doubt on the reality of pet mourning, many animal experts believe that pets experience grief after the death of a person or animal they were close with. Pets can grieve to varying degrees when they lose a human or animal companion, Kate Mornament, an Australian animal behaviorist and consultant, told HuffPost. Our understanding of this used to be anecdotal, but now we have scientific evidence of grief in both cats and dogs. In addition to cats and dogs, people have observed grief in other common pets like rabbits, horses, and birds. Of course, not all pets grieve, and the ways in which they mourn vary from individual to individual. Still, there are some common signs of grief. In many cases, they behave the way grieving humans do, according to Mark Beckoff, a professor emeritus of ecology and evolutionary biology at the University of Colorado at Boulder, and the author of Canine Confidential, Why Dogs Do What They Do. In general, an individual might stop eating or eat less, stop playing, mope around looking for their friend, walking slowly, head low, tail down, for example, and simply seem distracted and not interested in doing much, he said. One of the dogs with whom I shared my home went from being a hyper-playful social butterfly and nonstop eater to a laid-back and lethargic dog who stopped eating for 2 days after his dog friend died. Mornament echoed Beckoff, saying that behavioral changes are the most obvious signs of grief in pets. Grieving pets may lose their appetite, constantly check the places their companion used to sleep and relax, solicit more attention and affection, whine or meow more, and sleep more than usual. Cats and dogs actually grieve in a very similar way, she said. Still, we can't fully equate human and pet responses to loss. Beckoff said the dog in his home began exhibiting normal behavior again after only about 4 days. Kristen McMillan, a third-generation animal trainer based in Los Angeles, told HuffPost that animals that experience loss and grief more tend to be those with complex social structures like primates, elephants, and dogs. In the case of dogs, the level of grief can vary depending on how bonded a dog was to the person or fellow animal that died. Littermates or dogs that have been with the deceased individual from puppyhood are more likely to go through withdrawal. The dog acts sad. They'll mope around the house and have a sad look on their face, she said. Their energy is pale and gray, as opposed to vibrant and lively, the way a dog should be. They won't play as much. Because many senior citizens are retired or widowed, they tend to spend a lot of time with their dogs, McMillan added. As a result, these pets may feel the loss more deeply. It's like that dog's whole world is taken away, she explained. In the case of cats, grief can manifest in similar ways. They can withdraw, they can take it out on a companion cat, or they can be aggressive with their caregiver, Carol Wilborn, a cat therapist based in New York, told HuffPost. adding that cats have been known to stop eating or become destructive after a loss. They can also get ill. Maybe all the tension will well up in their bladder and they'll start not using the litter box, she said. A lot of separation anxiety can really build up so that a behavioral or emotional issue can trigger a medical problem. Or if they're already had an existing condition, that could intensify. For people looking to help a pet get through grief, there are a few possible approaches. Wilborn said she tells cat owners to focus on nurturing themselves through the loss and to work to create a healing and happy atmosphere for their pets. Frequently, a cat will mirror their person's feelings and actions. You don't have to necessarily pretend you aren't feeling sad, but also do things to make yourself feel better, like play music, take a bubble bath, do yoga, or meditate, she suggests. Wilborn also recommended telling the cat that everything is going to be okay. I'm not saying the cat understands the words, but they pick up the body language and tone of voice, she said. McMillan said much of pet grief has to do with the routine rather than particularly deep-seated emotions. What I do is flip the animal's routine on its head, she said. If every morning before the loss, a dog had breakfast first, then hung out at home, and then went for a walk, she does something different. Instead, she'll take the dog on a walk first and in a completely different path than what it's used to, and then take it back and give it breakfast in a different part of the house. And then rather than whatever it would normally do after breakfast, she'll take it to do something else. That way the routine is different, she said. The space the other animal or person holds in the dog's heart is oriented around a routine. So when you change the routine, they're going to feel the absence of that dog or that person less. It's not going to erase it, but they're going to feel it less. McMillan pointed to Hachiko's story as an example of the power of routine. That's why you flip the routine on its head, to help the dog be in the now, she said. You want to rally the dog, encourage it to go forward and build a new life. Animals are resilient by nature, so you want to build on that. If your dog lost a fellow dog companion, she also recommended getting a new dog bed so that the smells aren't there as a reminder. Another important thing is to let your pet be with a dead animal if possible. If you're putting one of your animals down, let the other animal be there if you have the opportunity to do that. Let your other animal be there and sit with them and smell the body of the animal that passed away. They will register death, she said. I encourage the same thing if they've lost a person, if there's that opportunity. That way they're not thinking, where did they go? Ultimately, the most important thing for helping a pet get through a loss is just being there. People can help their pets through the grieving process by being there for them and spending time with them, said Mornament. The passage of time will help to ease grief. However, engaging in activities that your pet enjoys, such as walking or playing, can also help. Losing a much-loved companion can be a big adjustment, and showing some extra care and compassion towards a grieving pet will help pets transition to life without their companion. Beckoff said, love them, comfort them, calm them, make them feel safe and secure, and let them know you care for them and love them and are there to support them. Here's a pet dilemma that many people unfortunately have to face. Anne Brenoff at HuffPost wants to know, in a nasty divorce, who gets the dog? Our pets are more like our kids than our property, but the law doesn't see it that way. Relationships, marriages included, sometimes fail in an epic fashion. Splitting up can take an emotional toll and financial toll, and if anger or resentment or revenge plays a role, things can get downright biting. Let's cut to the chase. Houses can be sold, and most of our property can be divided, and legally speaking, that includes the family dog. Yes. The laws in every state but Alaska and Illinois still see pets as property that can be sold right along with the couch they like to nap on. This makes the question of who gets the dog or cat a real bone of contention. Because pets are often loved like family members, custody of the dog after divorce is often hotly contested. Pet parents consider their pets, like their children, to be priceless and irreplaceable. Sometimes, couples can agree on a custodial schedule for the dog, along with division of assets, before a divorce goes to court. However, in the absence of agreement, it will be up to the judge to decide who, if anyone, gets custody of the dog. Molly Rosenblum, a Las Vegas family law attorney, has seen it all. Her firm regularly handles cases in which divorcing couples can't agree on who gets custody of the family pet. In one case, she told HuffPost, an exasperated judge ordered the court martial to take the dog in question to a nearby park and see which parent the pooch ran to. The divorcing humans were warned to not call the dog's name or stuff their pockets with liver treats, kind of like tampering with evidence or bribing a witness. The winning parent was the wife. Her soon-to-be ex-husband got $500 in lieu of custody, and at least in this case, his howls of protest went unanswered. Another time, Rosenblum said, a childless couple who were married for 7 years wound up in court over Ava, a purebred Doberman Pinscher that the husband found after extensive breed research and the screening of multiple prospective breeders. The dog became the focal point of the divorce, Rosenblum said. Both sides spent a lot of money on lawyers. She subpoenaed Ava's veterinary records, called the breeder as a witness, and took to the puppy mats, so to speak. The case got more complex because the wife had registered Ava as her emotional support animal, something the opposing side dismissed as a ruse to skirt condo pet rules. In this case, Rosenblum said, the judge seemed about ready to order the two humans to sell the dog and split the money when the couple worked out an 11th-hour arrangement to share custody. The agreement specified that Ava would go back and forth on a weekly schedule that spelled out who got Ava for key holidays, how vet bills would be split, and which dog food she would be fed at each home. The judge saw Ava no differently than he saw the desk I'm sitting at, Rosenblum said, yet she was a child to this couple. Some courts have acknowledged the value of the bond between a human child and a pet and work to preserve it. They either order that pet follow the same custody schedule as the human child or award the pet to the parent who gets the most parenting time with the child. But when there are no children, Rosenblum said, chances are the court will just order a divorcing couple to sell the dog or have one party buy it from the other. Rosenblum says that what's missing is any consideration of what might be best for the pet. Our judges don't care, and the law tells them they can't care. There are movements underway by animal rights advocates to change how the law sees animals so that they're treated as sentient individuals, not property, who are entitled to certain rights of their own. Not only could new laws recognizing animals as individuals spread beyond Illinois and Alaska, but they could also open the door to other interpretations. For instance, in veterinary malpractice cases, agriculture, and the entertainment industry. And there may be a new wrinkle. Emotional support animals could be the mechanism that changes pets' legal status. As an avid dog lover myself, it is hard to imagine that someone other than myself might be entitled to my dog, Rosenblum said. But until pet custody laws come along, that's precisely what could happen. Your best bet then is to try to settle out of court. And now, for the portion of the program I like to call, Don't Eat That. Dogs eat the darndest things. I had a dog who loved to eat socks my mother rolled up in pairs when she did the laundry. They came out the same way they went in, rolled up in pairs. Caitlin Altimo at Paw Culture tells us about 8 dogs and the crazy things they've eaten. Many dogs consider anything that looks or smells enticing to be an approved treat ready for them to eat, and as pet parents of dogs who have a curious palate know, practically everything is on the menu. While sticking your hand in your curious pup's mouth may be a typical occurrence, you should try to avoid getting him into these circumstances in the first place as much as possible. In general, I tell people to assume their pets will get into things, as even the most seemingly undesirable items can be appealing to a pet, said Dr. Stephanie Liff, DVM and owner of Pure Pet Paws Veterinary Care of Clinton Hill, Brooklyn, New York. To help prove Liff's point further, here are just a few crazy things dogs have nibbled on, gnawed at, and eventually eaten. First is Hudson, age one, a puggle. The craziest thing Hudson has eaten is Q-tips. My puppy Hudson is obsessed with finding and eating Q-tips out of the bathroom trash. I have to open up his mouth and get them out before he swallows them, said his owner, Callie, from Brick, New Jersey. Liff says, while they may cause obstruction in rare cases, Q-tips won't become too troublesome for most pets who get their paws on them. My own dog ate 499 Q-tips when I was in vet school, and he just passed cotton in his feces for several days, Liff said. Potential signs that could signal a problem would include vomiting, diarrhea, and anorexia. Next is Ziva, age four, an Australian cattle dog. Craziest thing Ziva has eaten? A whole dog toy. My dog eats everything. She once ate a block of fire starter. She eats plastic, sticks, and rocks. One year on Christmas, she swallowed a dog toy whole, and we had to have it surgically removed. The toy was definitely the most expensive toy that year, her owner, Raina, from Charlottesville, Virginia, said. In situations like this, a dog toy could cause an obstruction, Liv said. Radiographs and/or ultrasound would indicate if surgery is needed. Next is Ridge, 4 years old, a hound mix. Craziest thing Ridge has eaten, painkillers. Soon after we adopted my dog, he got into a bottle of old pain reliever pills that my boyfriend had from a dental surgery. He couldn't remember if the bottle had been finished or if there were still pills in there. I had to induce vomiting and then pick through the puke to try to locate any pills floating around in it. I couldn't find any, and he was fine, but it sure was a lovely introduction to being a pet parent, said Rachel from New York, New York. And Liff says non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs like Advil and Tylenol are toxic to dogs and cats. My recommendation for ingestion of either painkiller would be hospitalization for decontamination therapy, which would consist of IV fluids, activated charcoal, and monitoring of liver and kidney values. Chelsea, age seven, a multi-poo. Craziest thing Chelsea has eaten was a Christmas ornament. When she was only 1 or 2 years old, Chelsea ate an ornament. I freaked out and Googled what to do like crazy. I found that I could give her bread soaked in milk, and apparently that would help grab all the ornament pieces. Luckily, that worked, and we didn't have to take her to the vet on a holiday when most offices would have been closed, said her owner, Taryn, from Princeton, New Jersey. Dodger, age six, a Chiweenie. Craziest thing eaten, gum off the sidewalk. Dodger loves to scavenge and eat peppers that fall off the counter when we cook, ants, and other bugs that get into the house, chapstick, and hand lotion too. But his favorite unapproved thing to eat is used gum that people spit out onto the street. It's absolutely gross. Yes, it is. Sometimes, if I hadn't realized that he had picked it up, I would notice him chomping and walking happily like a person chewing on a wad of gum in their mouth. He's done it so often now that all I have to do is say, drop it, and snap my fingers and he'll spit it out. But at first, I would have to stick my fingers into his mouth and fish it out, said his owner, Francisco, from Union City, New Jersey. Rocky, age 11, a boxer, ate a plastic bag. Our dog Rocky ate a plastic bag, but we didn't know it until my husband pulled it out of his butt. Yes. Later, he took a bag of chips off of the counter and ate every chip and left the bag. I guess he learned his lesson, said Monique from Dingman's Ferry, Pennsylvania. We see plastic bag eating cause intestinal obstruction in a lot of cats and fewer dogs, Liv says. If your pet seems uncomfortable, is vomiting, has diarrhea, or isn't eating, call your veterinarian so that they can diagnose the problem. Max, a black lab, craziest thing he's eaten is crayons. Crayons. My dog growing up used to get into everything. Bagel dough that was rising on the counter. His stomach had to be pumped. A full bag of rice. Again, stomach pump. My sister's chocolate birthday cake that my mom had to try to piece together so it didn't look sad when she brought it to the table. Ugh. But most notably, Max loved to eat crayons. I grew up thinking all dog poo was colorful like M&M cookies with little colorful dots everywhere, Rachel from New York said. Crayons are non-toxic, and a teacher of mine actually once recommended feeding different cats different colors of crayons to determine which cat was defecating outside the litter box, Liv said. Mila, age one, a lab terrier mix. Craziest thing she's eaten, a pair of sunglasses. I was dog sitting Mila, and while my back was turned for just a few minutes, she managed to eat a pair of sunglasses. Once I realized that part of the lens she had cracked was broken into a few pieces, and that one of the arms was nowhere to be found, I took her to the vet. They recommended Wonder Bread. The spongy consistency kind of forms a mold around the sharp stuff and helps them pass it, said Jacqueline from Los Angeles, California. While some dogs just have a casual compulsion to eat anything that smells like food to them, dogs who frequently crave and ingest non-food items may have a medical issue called pica. The best advice for any pet parent of a dog who eats non-food items is to puppy-proof the home. And for pets who are affected by pica, a disorder in which they seek out foreign material, a basket muzzle can often help prevent more serious complications, Liv said. And finally, in May 17, 2018 edition of National Geographic, Linda Lombardi tells us why you're probably training your cat all wrong. Yes, they're independent and willful, but felines can be taught certain behaviors to the benefit of cat and human. Training has always been part of the deal when you own a dog, though methods have changed a lot over the generations. Cats are a very different story, but they shouldn't be. People don't traditionally train cats because they think of cats as, well, independent and full of free will, says Sarah Ellis, co-author of The Trainable Cat. What they don't realize, though, is that they are subconsciously training their cats on a daily basis. Herding cats. The bad news is that you're often training your cat to do the opposite of what you want. How many times have you yelled no and run over to scoop your cat off the kitchen counter? And yet, it never seems to learn. There's a reason for that. You think you're scolding, but you're inadvertently giving the cat attention, which in the cat's mind is better than nothing. And so it's rewarding, says Michael Delgado, a postdoctoral fellow at the School of Veterinary Medicine at University of California, Davis. It's a basic principle of training. If a behavior results in something the animal likes, it'll do it again. So stop letting that principle work against you and get it to work for you instead. Reward what you like and ignore what you don't like, says Delgado. The power of positivity. Training gives you a more effective way to communicate, and you may even find your cat communicates back. Delgado saw this when she taught her cat to use the scratching post instead of trying to teach her not to scratch the couch. When my cat wanted a treat, she'd go to the scratching post and put a paw on it and look at me like, hey, are you going to give me a treat for this? When you start ignoring undesirable behavior, you'll need to hold your ground through the extinction burst, as trainers call it. Initially, the animal will try harder. So if you stop getting up to feed your cat in the middle of the night, it'll probably meow louder and walk on your face, says Delgado. You have to be very consistent in not responding. To start teaching your cat to do things you want, Ellis suggests training it to calm when called. Stand 2 or 3 feet away, call your feline friend's name to get its attention, then say, come, and hold out a treat. If necessary, reach out with the treat, then move it closer to your body to get the cat to follow the treat. Repeat until the cat starts to respond consistently, and then gradually call to your cat from farther and farther away. Once that makes a believer of you, you can start training your cat to do more challenging but useful behaviors, such as tolerating nail trims or going willingly into a carrier. Always break the process down into tiny steps. For nail trimming, start by rewarding your cat repeatedly for just allowing a paw to be touched. Once your cat is comfortable with that, give it a treat. When you press its paw, gently to extend a claw. Step by step, work up to trimming one nail, then more than one at a time. The process may sound tedious, but it's worth it for a lifetime of not struggling with the routines of basic care. Make sure you're using, make sure you're using rewards. Make sure you're using food rewards that your cat is enthusiastic about. If kibble isn't exciting enough, try treats or bits of canned food. These rewards should be very small, and make sure to cut back a bit on your pet's regular meals to prevent weight gain. And train in very short sessions, and don't try to progress too quickly. The most common mistake people make when training cats is to ask for too much too soon, says Ellis. Training is worth the effort. It's easier for you to care for your cat as well as builds your relationship. People who train their felines feel that their cat is not just this willful, stubborn creature doing things to annoy them, Delgado says. There are real benefits for the human-animal relationship, and it's not as hard as you think. That'll do it for this week. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. I hope you enjoyed the program. Thank you for listening. Please join me next time. And don't forget, please spay and neuter your pets. It's healthy for them and the environment. Pets Plus Us is a production of WXXI Reach Out Radio in Rochester, New York. I'm your host, Mary DeFranco. If you'd like more information about this program or to hear this program again, visit our website at wxxi.org/reachout. I'd also like to invite you to share your pet story with us by writing to us at reachout@wxxi.org.